You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Scheman with Pete Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Coming up later on, we'll talk with Cameron Wolf of ESPN about the Dolphins hire yesterday. At least yesterday, they made it official with Brian Flores. Also got a $50 gift certificate at Ace Hardware to give away before we leave the airwaves today. Speaking of giving money away, great news for those that participated in the Scheman and Shepard cash grab.
Oh, yeah.
We had multiple winners, and then another one of the winners here in the building with one of our other stations got the grand prize. The $10,000 grand prize.
Sweet.
I mean, the money's flowing out of the doors and windows around here. It's fantastic.
We gave away almost $20,000 in this market.
Nice.
That's fantastic. January, first week of February.
All right. I presume we'll be doing it again in the spring-ish?
Our next date, I believe, we will pick this back up on April 1st.
All right. Your chance to win.
And I'm not April Fools-ing you.
Oh, very good. Okay. So before we continue on, by the way, we need to get a Twin Peaks Twitter poll rolling. We were going to talk about dynasties in sports, but I kind of want to finish up our conversation about the NBA. I got going with LeVar Ball, talk about Lonzo Ball, but we ended the segment on Sound Street last segment about Kobe Bryant saying that the Rockets style cannot win a title in an interview with Rachel Nichols. Of course, the Rockets style is, while everybody else is hurt, James Harden is setting an offensive pace never seen before in the NBA, maybe since, like, I don't know, Wilt Chamberlain. What is he, like, how many straight games at 30 or more points? It's like 17 games or
scored
something.
40 last night. No.
I mean, more than
it's
that.
It's like 30 games.
Yeah. So he's on a tear. But Kobe Bryant was saying, look, this pace will not be successful in the postseason. And he's right. We all know it. We all know that Harden will wear down. And teams will key on him, and that's not going to work. I am curious. I haven't heard this yet. James Harden had a response to Kobe's comments. And by the way, Kobe's comments, just to put him in context, were very complimentary of James Harden. He wasn't ripping on James Harden. He wasn't saying, look, you can't be a ball hog like I was. It's just not going to work. So here are James Harden's comments in response.
I mean, I have to be ball dominant just because we have injuries. You know, we had injuries throughout the course of the year. So, but when we get Chris, you know, in the rhythm and Eric back and get our full roster, you know, we got multiple guys that can make plays, multiple guys that can dominate the ball. So, for right now, he's probably right. You know, this way that we're playing won't happen in the play. It won't get us to where we want to go. But we haven't had a full roster yet, so I'm excited for that to come.
All right. At what point do you need a full roster? I mean, it's like you can't get healthy the day before the playoffs. That never works. You've got to have time to get it together. I know Chris Paul is coming back. He's played here this week.
You're not going to play 11 guys in a postseason unless you're in a blowout situation.
Right.
I mean, we've seen them, roster shrink in the postseason. However, I mean, if he keeps going, that there's a lot of basketball left in the regular season to be played. It's going to catch up with them.
Well, we've already seen it. The last two postseasons, it gets down to game six, game seven in a deep series.
Yeah. He done.
And he's not as effective with that.
Yeah, but.
We call it a step back. Some call it a travel. Call it what you want. But he's not as effective with it.
But
look at his last two closeout games. The numbers are not good.
Absolutely. And then you look at, though, he's been the guy most of the time this year. So how much more tired is he going to be now? This year than it was last year. Last year, absolutely. But he didn't have to do this last year for big chunks of the season.
No.
So that fatigue, it's got to catch up with you.
I think it will. All right, now, for those that missed it earlier, the developing story, the NBA trade deadline is 3 o'clock Thursday. It is now 3 o'clock Tuesday. So we've got 48 hours. The Pelicans all along have said, once Anthony Davis said, look, I'm not re-signing here, so you might as well get something for me now. Got a year and a half left on his deal. They've said, well, we'll just wait. We're cool. And maybe they're going to wait and see what Danny Ainge is going to do. Or maybe they're baiting Magic Johnson, who doesn't want to wait to go head-to-head with Danny Ainge in the summer and trade assets. So the Lakers, if they want Anthony Davis, after they've already failed on getting other free agents, Kawhi Leonard and Oklahoma City.
Paul George.
Now if they whiff on this, now Magic Johnson said, if I don't get this turned around in 2 years, I'll resign. Don't forget that. That comment's going to come back if he can't get another free agent here. It's been a couple years now. If he whiffs on this, I mean, he's done. So what's the – you guys just read it. The latest deal on the table that Magic has put forth is
– Lonzo Ball. Well, let's go – first they wanted – first the package was Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, and Lance Stephenson. Mm-hmm. Now it's Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Ivica Zubac, and guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but that's a salary dump. And the Lakers are willing to give the Pelicans a salary cap relief they wanted by taking on Solomon Hill, who has another year left on his deal at 12.7. They can sign him and then waive him. So
and draft
also
picks.
And also initially 2 first-round draft picks. Now the Pelicans saying they want 4 picks.
So you're really trading Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, Ivica Zubac, and 2 first-round picks for AD. Because you're just swapping Solomon Hill and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say this deal goes down on Thursday. The Lakers have a game Thursday night. Okay. Anthony Davis is not going to be in town. He's not going to join them in Boston.
No.
For that. I presume they will sit these 6 players before they can leave. They're not going to play them. Who are the Lakers throwing out on the court against Boston on Thursday? They're going to have such a depleted roster. I mean, seriously, this is a serious question. What are they going to do? This is unprecedented.
This would be their roster. Michael Beasley.
Okay.
Rondo.
Isaac Bonga.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Caruso. Tyson Chandler.
And LeBron James.
LeBron James. JaVale McGee.
Oh, JaVale. That's right.
Yeah, Rondo.
I don't know how to say his first name or his last name.
Okay. Some other guy.
Mikalauk. He's from Kansas. He's a good shooter out of Kansas. Rookie, I think. Rondo Stevenson.
Okay.
Mo Wagner.
Oh, Mo Wagner from Michigan. Yeah, I remember him.
And Jonathan Williams. That would be there.
Okay, so they physically can put a team and a few backups on the court Thursday night against the Celtics.
Yeah.
And then, presumably, Anthony Davis would be ready to play with LeBron against the 76ers on Sunday. Is that a nationally televised game?
Yes, sure. It's on ABC. It's on ABC. Yeah.
All right, that's something.
And I just saw a stat in the next 32 days. The New Orleans Pelicans have 6 nationally televised games.
Not so much.
If this trade goes down, I wonder if Adam Silver will step in and go, wait. Yeah. No. Yeah. Hold on.
Well, no, you know why?
I know you can't change that, but.
At least initially, because the NBA, Lonzo Ball in New Orleans.
Lonzo Ball in New Orleans, baby.
Oh, great.
With LeVar cheering him on in the front row. Phoenix or bust.
I hope there's a camera outside of LeVar Ball's home somehow, some way, during that he's. As the games are going on TNT, before that, but during the day, even on NBA TV, just have a LeVar Ball cam up in the right-hand corner of the screen.
Yeah.
Just to watch his face as if this thing does unfold. Oh, it'll be priceless.
Can I say something about Lonzo Ball?
It's free country. You can say whatever you want.
I think he being traded – well, sometimes airtime's tight on the show. I think him being traded to the Pelicans is one of the best things that could happen to him. Get him the hell out of Hollywood, right? With all the pressures of being the homegrown kid.
Under his dad's thumbnail.
Get away. Yeah. His dad won't be traveling there all the time. It's a cool little city where you can find your vibe and find your deal and make your own name in the league. Right now, he's always going to be in LeBron's shadow in Los Angeles. Going to the Suns is stupid. This could be a decent move for his career because he's never going to be more than a 12-point-per-game guy.
There's no way you can do it if you're the Suns unless you know two other teams. That is such a fantasy. That's only in LeVar Ball's.
Yeah, I mean, we should almost quit mentioning it because you're right.
Yeah, I think he's trying to tell everybody that if Lonzo goes to New Orleans, LeVar's coming with them and LeVar's baggage are coming with them, but. The Pelicans might say, well, we might call his bluff on that and say, look, here's the thing, though,
is Lonzo goes to New Orleans. He's not starting. They just paid Drew Holiday a lot of money last offseason. So he's going to go there. He's going to ride the bench. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think he's as good of a point guard as Alfred Payton is as well, the backup in New Orleans.
You're right.
So.
All right, so do they need. Okay. I was gonna say, do they need a third team to make this work? Get him out of there.
Yeah, Phoenix.
No, I mean, this is all Dell Demps can make this. You know, they can do this deal right now. All, if it just backed off, maybe one of the picks, a second round pick. They want apparently wants 2 firsts and 2 seconds. That's what it seems like.
I want to see Magic Johnson blink, because Magic Johnson is at the end of his 2 years that he said he would get this thing turned around. It is Anthony Davis or bust, or he is a complete failure as an executive with the Lakers. Complete failure.
Yeah.
He has got to make this move, and the Pelicans know it, and they are just dangling request after request. I think it's awesome. I think it's absolutely fascinating.
Oh, it is, and it's all a question, like you said, who blinks first? And I still think the big wild card in all of this is the Pelicans don't know what Kyrie Irving wants to do. If they knew absolutely 100% he was staying with the Celtics, then none of this even matters. It's all just innuendo and
right, because
typical trade rumor garbage. They know they could get more out of the Celtics and assets with Tatum and Brown and draft picks. It's better than anything the Lakers have to offer. Again,
but they would have to wait until July to make that trade.
That's what I mean. They'd have to really know, wink, wink, that was going to happen.
You've got a comment from Doris Burke talking about this very thing, I believe, in your queue over there. Doris Burke talking about Kyrie's comments about leaving as a free agent on Golic and Wingo.
I expected from a very bright young man a crafted, well thought out, very respectful non-answer. And what we got was him walking back a commitment and opening the door to the possibility of him leaving the Boston Celtics. And I know it caught the Celtics off guard. And it essentially, instead of for 3 months, as you are in the midst of trying to continue to work out chemistry issues and facing formidable Milwaukee and Toronto teams, you have now put yourself, your teammates, your head coach, and your organization in a position for the next 3 months to wonder and to have a distraction in the most important time of the year.
Fact.
Yeah, well, luckily, I think the distraction part is, but the stuff he said the other day, the whiny, bitchy crap that he spewed the other day about to blame the media, and then he sounded like Antonio Brown. He was channeling Antonio Brown. It was a little puke-inducing, to be honest with you. Please, just stop it. Well, don't say what you said. You know, don't be a hypocrite about it, or say nothing. And I understand if I were him, he should wait till July 1st.
Sure,
I don't blame him. But don't come out a couple months ago and say
than that, right?
Yeah, don't come out a couple months ago.
And here's
I think it's 50-50. He goes.
And here's where I think it can be a distraction, because apparently, you know, he's not getting along with the younger guys. Was it Tatum or was it the just 2 weeks ago?
Oh, it was all Brown, Tatum. Yeah. Was it? But now, but I mean,
seemed to be a little conflict.
They're 10-2 since his little outburst, and I don't think he played in one of those games. But they've been playing. If you've watched them, they've been on national TV, and they are really playing well. The one guy that has struggled a little bit, and he didn't get his points till in the fourth quarter yesterday. What a brain cramp again. What's his name?
Hayward.
Hayward.
Oh.
He seems to be a little off for most of the year.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's a little off when they're 10-2, so when he finally finds his groove again, they should be okay. But they are 10-2 since the little outburst. But I don't know if what he said last week is going to be a distraction. I just think now the other guys are like, you know what, whatever. Let's just play for today and keep going. But Kyrie keeps making it an issue. Don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Chris, are the Woj comments outdated? The one on here about Anthony Davis' future in New Orleans? It was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. Let's take a listen.
He stays in New Orleans. Does he play the rest of the season there? Now, Anthony Davis and Rich Paul, his agent, have said all along that they want to play. But what does the organization do? Do they want to risk him getting injured? Do they want to risk losing that value in him? Does the league office do if all of a sudden they say they can put him in a uniform and not put him in the game? They don't have to play him. All those things are in play once we get past Thursday. That hasn't been decided yet. But even if they get past the trade deadline on Thursday with him on their roster, what happens next will be really interesting.
And we talked about this last week, you guys. I said that. We brought it up, that what is New Orleans going to do? They start benching this guy. Adam Silver's going to have a fit, and I don't blame him.
But it hasn't affected him yet because he's been out with an injury, a finger injury.
Correct. Yeah. I'm wondering how long is that going to...
We saw this song and dance with Kawhi Leonard last year.
Well, and this is a team that has been bitten after the trade deadline just last year. You put AD and Boogie Cousins together, it's working out. They look like they're going to be a pretty tough out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Boogie goes down with the ruptured Achilles, signs on the veteran contract, the veteran exemption mm-hmm. With the Warriors. It's awkward.
Yeah, it is.
But if you're the commissioner, you can't allow – you just if it's – look, you're right. San Antonio may or may not have. Or Kawhi Leonard may have not played that game with the Spurs last year, but God, if I'm Anthony Silva, I am like, you got to watch this. Like, you got to be very careful. You got people paying a lot of money to go see these guys play, and I understand from a business standpoint from the Pelicans, but
yeah,
they always say, "Oh, the fans." They don't care about the fans. They don't. They care about the business aspect of it.
Short of an Achilles or a Sam Bowie-type injury, I mean, Anthony Davis, even if he were to get hurt, he's still a type of talent you would still trade for, and like the Warriors did with Boogie Cousins. They took on an injured player knowing that someday he'd be better.
But look at the haul that the Pelicans have the chance to bring in. If you make the deal before Thursday, what do we talk about? Five young players and two first-round mm-hmm. draft picks?
Yeah.
I get it. Those first-round draft picks probably won't be lottery picks,
right?
But they're still, you know, some of the top guys coming out of college.
Yeah.
If he gets hurt this year, let's say it's Boston that wants to make the move. Well, all of a sudden, if Boston says, okay, well, I'm not going to give up Tatum and Brown.
Right.
You can have your pick of the two.
Right.
And then we'll throw in draft picks and maybe take some expiring contracts off of your book. Whatever. It could hurt the rebuild for that team.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to pivot the conversation just a little bit, because these teams are making these moves trying to win a championship, and then there are other teams that are trying to win multiple championships and build dynasties. It's been happening in a lot of sports. We see the Patriots going through it now. The Lakers, they used to be a dynasty with Showtime. The Celtics have more championships than anybody. Chris, you wrote a piece today at 99.3ESPN.com about dynasties and whether they're good for sports.
They're great for sports.
They are, yeah. They are and they aren't. I mean, they're great in that now we got somebody to hate, and that seems to draw more interest. But then again, you can sit back and admire it, too.
Well, that's why with the Patriots it's so different. I'm sorry, because it's a salary cap era. The whole structure of the NFL was designed so this type of scenario wouldn't happen. Forget 4 or 5 years. We're talking now, we're closing in on 20. That's what makes it even more remarkable. And I don't care if you like him or not, it doesn't matter. You got to have the respect factor for it. The league was designed so this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and when the Steelers won their four in 6 years, I mean, all the players were together for the 4 years.
Absolutely.
They're the same guys. Brady's won championships with if you added up all the guys,
hundreds.
It's hundreds of guys. It's incredible.
But again, they manage the salary cap, as do the Golden State Warriors. I cannot stand the people who get pissed off at the Golden State Warriors. Why are you pissed off at them? They properly manage the salary cap the right way to do this. Now, if you want to talk about players dictating and trying to form super teams on their own and collusion, that kind of stuff, That's a different conversation, but don't get mad at the Golden State Warriors because Kevin Durant went there because they had salary cap space and could pull it off. That's the other part.
I'll disagree with you on that. I think what the Patriots have done is harder because they do have a true cap. The Warriors said, screw the cap. We're going over it. We're paying the tax. They're way over the cap.
Yeah, they are. But
they're paying the tax they decided it's a good business model. To win championships, we'll pay the tax.
Bingo. Big business model, because they're probably going to make it back and then some.
Yeah.
You know, Major League Baseball obviously is totally different.
I think the one dynasty out there that you could compare to what the Patriots have done, if the closest one out there, is the Spurs. The Spurs also, yeah. 5 championships mm-hmm. over 15 years.
Roughly the same.
Changing of the guard of superstars. You know, at least the Patriots have had Brady the whole time. The Spurs actually had to switch their...
But up until last year, it was Duncan.
Yeah.
They had that core together, Parker, right. mm-hmm. Ginobili, right. Duncan, for 3 of them.
Right, right.
I mean, and hockey fans know, look, for many years, obviously, it was the Montreal Canadiens. It was the same. Edmonton Oilers. The Islanders went to 4 straight Stanley Cups and won 4 in a row, nearly won 5 in a row back from 79 to 83. Phenomenal. The Pittsburgh Penguins, too. The Detroit Red Wings had their little mini dynasty as well. So, and same thing. People hated those teams, all those teams back then. But that's not their fault.
Now, Are we defining dynasty? We're defining dynasty like groups of championships over several years. Back when I was a kid, I used to think of dynasties as years in a row. And I'm thinking of the Yankees back in the day. Are there 27 championships? Oh. I mean, did they clipped off like 7 in a row? Or
okay,
11
but
out of 10?
Yeah, but don't forget they went through a dead spin in the 60s. They were terrible.
Well, I know that, but I'm not talking about those Yankees. I'm talking about the old Yankees.
Yeah, the old Yankees.
That was a dynasty.
It was a
year after year after year.
I'll even say just sustained excellence. Mm-hmm. Okay, have the Patriots have gone back-to-back once, right? 01, 02?
No, 01, 03, 04.
03, 04. Yeah. Okay, right. Mm-hmm. But they even had that gap there where they didn't win for a five-year period.
Well, they didn't get to a Super Bowl for a five-year period.
That's what I'm saying, though.
No, they lost.
They were still getting two AFC championship games.
Yeah.
They were still winning their division consistently. They were still performing as one of the top five teams in the league every year.
All right, I wanted to pivot and get this conversation going. I'd like to get the phones going. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I'd love to hear from you at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Simple question. Are dynasties good for sports? Yeah. Does it help you be more interested, or are you tired of Warriors and Patriots every year? Is it bad? Is it good? I want to hear from it. And we'll put it up on our Twin Peaks Twitter poll as well. So we'll get that going here.
Yeah, 317, yes. Chicago Blackhawks, yes. My faux pas, yes. Great organization, yes. They did a little mini dynasty, too.
All right. We'll hear from you, the people out there listening at 239-337-ESPN. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Having an interesting conversation about sports dynasties and how we define them and how we enjoy them or hate them. Also want to let you know real quick that the second annual Southwest Florida Junior Angler Championship is back. We're all over this. March 2nd. Put it on your calendar books right now. Kids 4 through 15 in the age groups there. And you can log on to our website at 99.3ESPN.com. $75 per angler. Up to $5,000 in cash prizes available. Chris said there may even be something in the works about a big boat that can get like 24 kids on it. We're working on that. We'll let you know more details there in case you don't have a boat. But we want the important thing is to have kids out there and have some fun. It is March 2nd. Go to our website, check it out, and be part of the second annual Southwest Florida Junior Angler Championship.
Captain's party is a big pizza party up at Headpins in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Remember last year was awesome.
That was good.
What we watched it was a good basketball game. Was it Providence?
Providence Xavier,
I think it was.
I think it was. Yeah. All right, so we have that. Also invite you to check us out on Facebook. Pete and I we're doing some Facebook Live around noon every day, but you can watch that anytime at your leisure afterward. And one thing we were talking about is Chris's article that as we cross promote various social media events on 99.3 ESPN.
Not cross dress, it was cross promote.
Cross promote.
Yeah.
Did I say cross dress?
No.
Okay, good. We're talking about dynasties and whether they're good for sports.
That'd be fine though.
Cross dressing.
It's radio. Nobody knows.
Have you ever worn a dress?
No.
Ever? I mean, being silly? Nothing?
Maybe a long time ago.
When you were a kid? Mom's dress? Something
playing
like
dolls?
That?
Maybe.
Pete, you ever wore a dress?
I have not.
I have not either. Fact.
Apron.
An apron, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. You know I'm torn on aprons.
I like them when I'm handling, it depends what.
I don't think I've ever worn one. I mean, I've got nothing against them.
I've never worn one either, and it's like crossed my mind, hey, maybe I should buy an apron.
I mean, if I get a little
around
batter,
the waist, you don't have to do
if
one.
If I get
over.
Some batter or some flour on me, now I'm not going to be out in my Sunday church clothes cooking, with grease splattering around or anything like that. So I don't know. I don't think I've ever worn an apron. Interesting. Okay, so
you're missing out.
Apparently, I am. Pete Shepherd has nothing on under the apron. That's the thing.
Shh.
Flapping in the back.
Stop it.
All right. So talk about dynasties, whether they're good for the sport. We'll put it up the Patriots. Maybe you go with the Warriors. Maybe you're tired of these guys all the time. Maybe you admire the greatness from afar or from near.
Do people get – and I'd love to – as a subplot to this. Do people get more upset about college teams or pros? Like if you're, you know, it's a huge college football area, do you get more angry that Alabama's in it? Do you think it's sick? Is it ever going to end? Or, you know, or because I think a lot of other teams are close. I think it's a lot closer than people think. I really believe that in college football because you're still talking about kids.
Yeah.
So, yes, Alabama's been the team, you know, even though they got clobbered this year, but that's irrelevant. Look, they should have lost to Georgia. I think other teams are very, very close.
I feel more irritation toward Patriots dynasty than Alabama dynasty, even though we're basically down to the same four teams, it seems like, every year in college football the last few years.
And that's kind of what I was getting at in the article, that even though you're not winning the championship, the fact that you were in that discussion year in, year out, I think it's good for the sport. It gives somebody to hate. I love hating the Patriots.
Yes.
I enjoy it. I'd be a lot more upset if the Dolphins hadn't won an AFC East crown since 2008, if they had lost to teams that were finishing with 10 wins.
Do you hate them more because they're in the division of the team you love? I mean, if it were the Steelers winning six Super Bowls in 9 tries, you wouldn't hate them as much?
No, I would not.
Okay.
That's a divisional thing.
Admitting it.
No, and I used to feel the same way about the Yankees. I mean, for a lot of reasons. Past history, you know. But, you know, especially when I was really younger in the 70s, really, really hated. And then in the 80s, they were like, nowhere to be found.
Right.
Nowhere to be found.
Still acting like they were great.
One more. Steinbrenner would say every year, win more games than anybody. No, yeah.
Yep.
They've won more games in the 80s than anybody else, but never won a division title, never got to the playoffs.
And it's funny because I can remember growing up, I had always been a big Marlins fan. But I liked the Atlanta Braves. They were almost the consistent. You knew they were winning 94 games, 95 games. They were winning the NL East. They were getting to the playoffs. But the success in the postseason, I don't know if they would have had more success if I would have not liked them being in my division. But
I had a hatred for the Braves' success for another reason. It was personal. I was a program director of a radio station that carried the Braves, and all those flipping playoff games on the schedule and unscheduled football games.
Where was that? What state?
We were in Charleston. We carried the Braves.
Team of the South.
Yeah, they were a regional team. And I had to schedule all that stuff, and then we'd start interfering with football coverage because they would go to the World Series every year or the NLCS. They would lose, but. So I wanted them to lose earlier, and they never did under my tenure there. So much more personal reason for that.
You know, I don't hate Clemson, and they're the 1A, you know, 2A, whatever you want to say to Alabama right now in college football. I don't hate Clemson.
I have a much bigger
disdain for Ohio State than I do Clemson.
See, I don't know why, because
of Urban Meyer.
That's it.
I think back in the day, people had way more disdain for Miami than they did Alabama than they do Alabama now.
Was shorter, wasn't it? I mean,
well, they had a couple of runs. I mean, a couple of different runs.
You're right. There you go. 80s or 2000s.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Into their early 90s.
I mean, Notre Dame, you know, it's Notre Dame's more, it's like Duke. You know, it's not more of a, like, I don't hate Duke. I don't like Notre Dame. I don't.
Most overrated coach. You won with Team USA. Woo!
Wait a minute. Wait.
But this,
Mike Krzyzewski is the most overrated coach?
Okay, maybe not the most.
No.
I don't think he's overrated at all.
He's definitely overrated.
I think he's the John Wooden of our era.
How is he overrated?
Don't give him credit for putting USA basketball back on the map.
I tell you what. I don't even think of Mike Krzyzewski and Team USA. I think just dominance for Duke for 30 years.
Pretty good.
he had a good run.
When's his last national championship game appearance?
I don't know. When is it?
I don't know. It was the Wisconsin game. What was that, 5 years ago?
You know what it will be? April 3rd, 2019.
Zion Williamson will April be cutting 3rd. Down the nets.
You might not be wrong about that one.
As they beat Nevada in the championship.
Oh, there
Marquette. You go. What's my fourth team I picked?
I don't remember. I remember
I have my Final Four set, assuming they're all not in the same regional.
Probably Michigan State, which doesn't look like it's going to happen.
No, I do not
have now.
Michigan State.
No, I think maybe you did back in the fall when we did this.
No, I did not. No. This was not too long ago.
Are you sure?
No, I definitely had Duke. I definitely had Nevada, and I have Marquette. All those right. three. And I had a fourth.
Chris
I can't
got
remember
the
fourth
list.
I had.
Michigan.
No.
Do I have Michigan? I might be Michigan. Yeah. Okay, Michigan. All right.
Well, you might get one Michigan team right this time. Let's go to the phones at 239-337 ESPN. Gil in Fort Myers wants to talk sports dynasties. Hello.
Hey, Gil.
Hey, guys. I want your feedback on something because I thought about this for a while with a lot of friends and the teams, dynasties they hate and the ones they don't, especially in college. Yeah. I think it's more that you hate the coach than that you hate the dynasty. Like, nobody hates Coach K, but a lot of people hate Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer. I think it's that you begrudge the coach that you don't like the program that he has.
I think sometimes, but
could be truth.
But I mean, Coach K is hated by North Carolina fans, which is understandable. But I mean, around the country, is Coach K really hated? I think Urban Meyer's hated because of some of the people he's recruited in two schools and
Absolutely.
Some of.
Well, I think with Duke and Mike Krzyzewski, I think you either across wherever I've lived across the country, you either admire him or you hate him. There's no in-between with Duke and Mike Krzyzewski. 239 says, Phil Jackson, most overrated basketball coach. I'm willing to entertain that conversation.
So, like, going back to the dynasty, why do we hate the Patriots? 31 fan bases hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
There's a respect factor there, so don't text in that I'm a hater. Right. I've acknowledged I'm a hater.
Yeah,
I don't like the Patriots.
Right.
Why were the Bulls liked across the country?
I don't think I vaguely
remember it, but maybe outside of Boston and Detroit, which I'm glad you two are here now.
I didn't hate the Bulls. I hated the 76ers
Craig hates the Bulls because the Bulls basically ended the bad boys.
Yeah, and we had a pretty good rivalry before then, so I disliked Michael Jordan in the early years very much.
And I, even though I hated the Pistons for a couple of years, but you want to talk about, I'm not talking sports hatred here, so don't get carried.
Yes.
I mean, to me, sports hatred was two teams, maybe three, that came into. First was the Jets, the Dolphins, and Philadelphia 76ers. Without a doubt, and the Yankees, obviously. Those four. Not even the Rangers. Not even the Knicks. And I respected them. When Hubie was coaching them, and, you know, they had some, you know, real good teams that, you know, Bernard King was there and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I hated the 76ers. I mean, hated them.
Dr. J Sixers?
Yes.
I
respected him.
Yeah.
I respected them. I just hated them. Because that was my real, true first arch rival beside the Yankees.
Yeah, see, before my rival with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, I hated the Celtics. I hated the Celtics.
Andrew Toney, I hated him. I can honestly say to this day, I despise Andrew Toney more than any other NBA, even Lambert and Mahorn and all that stuff. I hated Andrew Toney because he never missed.
Well, long before I knew Pete Shepard, I had a dislike for the Boston Celtics just because.
And we just got this text from the 606. Us Kentucky fans hate Duke and UNC as much as they hate each other. It's really kind of a three-way rivalry. 606. No, it's not.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Right.
Maybe you don't like UNC and Duke, but UNC and Duke, you don't really come up in the conversation. It's like North Carolina State fans.
You're right.
They want to have this rivalry with North Carolina, but North Carolina's rival is Duke.
Yeah.
It just is.
By the way.
Sorry.
So it's the same thing like Michigan State will tell you Michigan's your biggest rival. No, Michigan doesn't care about Michigan State. They're the little brothers. Their rival is Ohio State.
It's Ohio State.
It's got to be mutual.
It will always be Ohio State.
I agree with you.
By the way, anybody who went to that NC State game over the weekend, I hope you got a refund.
24 points.
I looked five times at my phone going, no, that's something's wrong. I'm hitting my phone. Hello? You know, refresh. 24 points the Wolfpack scored in the game. That's it.
A few bricks.
And Virginia Tech didn't do much better. It was 47-24 and arguably the ugliest basketball game of the year.
Let's go to Chris in Naples real quick before break with Sheba to Shepherd. Go ahead, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Good, good. How you guys doing? Love the show.
Hey, thanks.
I'm Cavs fan, Chris. It's been a while since I called in. But, you know, being from the Cleveland area, I got two that stick out, you know, real easy. Obviously, the Warriors, but that's just because they, you know, they took the big three and made it a big five. It's ridiculous to have to do that to win a championship. But my real sports hatred runs deep with the Baltimore Ravens after Art Modell took my Brownies out of Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I understand that. Yep.
Man, that put a bad taste in my mouth. Still have the hatred.
I totally agree with
that.
Well, Chris, why?
When they won the Super Bowl, though, how'd you feel?
I was upset. And the thing that really bothered me was, the draft picks they got that year. It was Ray Lewis and I can't remember who else. They picked up two huge draft picks that the Browns, would have had one of. They got two because they were expansion team, however it worked out. But the Browns missed out on a great player for a decade as well, not only, watching our old team win a Super Bowl.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. I hear what you're saying, man. Thanks for checking back in. We'll take a quick break. Come back more on Sports Dynasties and your hatred for some of these teams as well. 239-337-ESPN. Also have a fun fact about Bill Belichick and Nick Saban talking about dynasties.
And I have an Oscar fun fact when we come back. You're not going
to
believe this.
Well, we got a lot
Who's
to do.
Who's Oscar?
Oscar is like the Oscar the Grouch.
Academy Award.
Oh, I can't say that anymore because homeless people get offended.
All right, it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
They have their fingers on the pulse of the sports world. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Yeah, exactly.
On 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk some Dolphins. Fins up, everybody. Cameron Wolf joins us from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on Brian Flores, the new head coach, who had his press conference yesterday. In the meantime, we are discussing dynasties in sports and whether they are good. Of course, the Patriots dynasty, Warriors pretty much dynasty. Are we tired of that? Do we like it? Is it good for sports? In fact, we've got our Twin Peaks Twitter poll up on that very subject today. Do we have an update?
Yeah, we do. Our dynasty is good for sports at 99.3 ESPN Radio. 87% on nearly 100 votes so far. 87% say yes. 13% say no. I'm surprised it's that high.
Yeah. All right, 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776 is the phone number. I did find a little fun fact regarding dynasties. It involves Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. I think we'd be unanimous in saying that they are dominating their respective sports and dynasties as head coaches of Alabama and the Patriots. Now, they've won a lot of chips over the years, no doubt about it. Would you be surprised if I told you that they have a total of 11 outright championship rings and never once have they won one in the same year? You'd think they would have crossed over once or twice.
Hmm.
Not really.
Interesting.
Or not actually.
Well, the year is young.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when does the year start? This is this is awkward because the Patriots won in February of 19. And the year's over.
Well, it's the 2018 season.
It's the 18 season.
So
it's
Alabama
the stat.
Had won, okay. It would have right. Evened out. But, yeah.
All right. There you go. All right. We'll see if Alabama can hold up their end of the deal and get a championship this upcoming season and match Bill Belichick.
Tall task.
The same year.
Going to be
that
very
is,
difficult.
That
although
is
that schedule,
task.
Man. It's, look, SEC is always the SEC, but God.
No.
Not. Most people are saying they might be challenged twice.
Twice.
That's it.
All right.
Challenged twice.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. And let's welcome Ishmael from Lehigh. A couple of new calls, first-time callers today. Ishmael, go ahead.
You're hey, Ishmael, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing? All right.
Good.
Listen, so a couple months ago, you guys were discussing about the Super Bowl possibly being even put on pay-per-view. You guys remember?
Yes.
I don't know if it was you guys.
Yes.
But it was on ESPN.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yes.
Now, with the ratings of what happened just the other day dropping significantly in the past 12 years, you think that's even still a possibility happening now? I'll hang up and I'll let you guys go.
All right. No.
Not yet.
I think we're look.
I was the one that said it will happen in our lifetimes, but not soon.
It's down from 48 million to like 44 million. I mean, we're not talking about. No,
it was 100 million. It was a 44 rating.
44 share.
44 share. 44 down from a 40, what, 9 or 47?
Yeah, it's down 5%.
Yeah, and I think, but you factor in the New Orleans factor, that's going to cut into a big chunk of that.
It's a couple mil.
By the way, I'm telling you go pay-per-view on it, it's going to drop a lot more. I mean, the same 100 million people aren't going to watch the Super Bowl if it's pay-per-view.
No way.
But it will happen in our lifetimes.
I don't think so. I don't.
Why not? We're not. Now you can buy 2 minutes of a fourth quarter of an NBA game. It's going to happen. I'm telling you.
Now, I think the only way that would work.
No way.
Would you buy it if it were players mic'd up?
Oh, you got to add a little extra something.
You got to add something to the broadcast where I'm not hearing Romo talk about what he thinks the play is going to be. I'm hearing the mic on Brady telling me what the play is.
Reagan! Play to the right.
But see,
side.
They couldn't do that because if someone, if you're monitoring that.
Well,
then...
it's on a delay. Super Bowl's on a 20-second delay. You could do it.
Yeah,
you
but
could
you
could do it.
But what? It's on a 20-second delay.
How long's
delay.
The play
However,
clock, though?
You could still hear the formation calls, you know.
By
why,
then, you wouldn't be able to pull that off.
Yeah, that would be difficult. But I like the thinking. I that's something outside the box. That's why tonight, if you got Showtime and inside the NFL, they're going to have everybody's mic'd up again. Those are the best. I mean, I could go to a movie theater and watch 3 straight hours, I don't care who it is, coaches, players, doesn't matter who, mic'd up during games in the NFL all day and be completely entertained.
If it could be the whole thing, I do. But when the broadcast companies get involved, let's say CBS, let's say they mic somebody up for the Super Bowl, which they didn't do that this year. They don't ever give you anything. It's also like coaches on the sideline in the NBA game when they get in the huddle and mic them up. It's worthless.
No, but
pablum.
You will have coaches and players mic'd up on Inside the NFL tonight from the Super Bowl.
Because they can't air most of the stuff being said on the sideline. That's why it's always vanilla.
Yeah.
Yep.
Strongly edited. All right, we'll continue this conversation. Don't forget, Brian Flores, we'll talk about him being the new head coach of the Dolphins when we have a conversation with Cameron Wolf from ESPN who covers them. Plus, more of your phone calls on sports dynasties, good or bad, and keeping an eye on the developing story in the NBA trade deadline 2 days away. What are the Lakers willing to give up for Anthony Davis? The list seems to be growing. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.